Parsha Kedoshim. Welcome back, everybody, after Pesach. Okay. We're going to start at the beginning of Kedoshim, but we're going to get to the issue of Pe'ah. There's a mitzvah that appears in this Parsha, and also in Parsha Kedoshim, and our next Parsha, the mitzvah of Pe'ah. We're going to start at Kedoshim Perek Yud Tet, by Yikra Perek Yud Tet. And the reason I want to do Pe'ah is very simple. I started this new Mishnah, I'm learning Mishnah Yomit with my son, on the second go-around, and I also have been teaching it on YouTube. So, I don't know, whoever wants to see it, if that's interesting to anybody. I'm trying to gin up popularity by teaching it on YouTube. But it makes you, like, when you study the Mishnayot, you realize that there's a whole fascinating ethic of tzedakah that's underneath the surface in this seemingly simple mitzvah. It's not simple at all. It's very, very complicated. So we're going to see it in 2-3 psukim, but then we're going to see that, like, the idea that we think of tzedakah, it might be very, very different than the way we practice our tzedakah might be very, very different than the way the Torah really wants us to practice it, as we'll soon see, just in the psukim themselves. Okay? And then I prepared sheets, and we can do the chinuch, and then the Rambam, and then a beautiful piece from Rav Kook. Okay? So we'll start. I'm just going to read through the psukim, because it's a few psukim until we get to Pe'ah. Okay? But I don't like just skipping. Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta lehem kedoshim tiyu. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokechem. You shall be holy, right? Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Okay? Ki kadosh ani Hashem. Just for your information, for those of you who are listening at home, online, in Chutz La'aretz, this week is Parshat Achrimot. They're a week behind. Okay? Why? Because they had the eighth day of Pesach, right? And we didn't have the eighth day of Pesach. They will be, this is really fascinating, it's an anomaly. I wrote a piece about this. They will be behind for 3 months. Okay? They only catch up in, like, late July. Which is really weird. Anyway, so...
What do you do?
What do you mean, what do you do? You go to shul.
No. Let's say you were in Chutz La'aretz last week.
Yeah.
And then you came back.
There is an inyan of, like, laning twice or laning two parshiot or hearing two parshiot. I don't know. I think you go to shul.
You go to shul, but I think you read it by yourself.
Something like that. I don't know. I don't remember.
That's
a good follow-up question. What do you do? You know, so somebody asked me a question. He sent me a question. He said, I don't understand. Why do we take so long to catch up? Why does the calendar not catch up? And the answer simply was, nobody ever designed the calendar to mesh between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Nobody cared, because who could travel between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael in the period of time that it would matter? It would take you weeks to get from one place to the other. So, like, well, in Israel they're doing, well, in Israel they do whatever. We do what we do here. You know what I'm saying? The calendars were designed for the needs of the local individual communities, not anything else. Anyway, Kedoshim Tiyu, you shall be holy. So we're doing Kedoshim there on Achrimot. So if you're listening Chutz La'aretz and you want to do Kedoshim, just listen next week. Okay? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem. Because I am the Lord your God, I'm holy. So you should be holy because I am holy. Very beautiful pasuk. We've talked about this in the past. We will talk about it in the future. To be holy, to emulate God, what does it mean, Kedoshim to you? The whole Ramban, the Rashi, Kadesh Atzmacha, B'mot Elecha, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. Ish imo ve'aviv tira'u, ve'ed shabtotai tishmoru, ani Hashem Elokechem. A man's imo ve'aviv tira'u, he should fear his mother and his father, and he should guard the Shabbat, I am the Lord your God. You're going to see it's like a potpourri, it's just all over the place. Al tifnu, next pasuk, pasuk dalet. Pasuk dalet, perek yud tet. Chapter 19, Pasuk Dalet. Parsha Kedoshim. Al tifnu el hayali, leave carrier. Do not turn to the gods, ve Elohim masecha lo ta'asula, and no one knows shall you make fashion, Elohim masecha, molten, or whatever, fashioned gods. Okay, don't make your own gods. Ani Hashem Elokechem. V'chi, Pasukei, v'chi tizbechu zevach shlamim la'ashem, and when you offer a zevach shlamim, an offering of shlamim, l'ratzonchem tizbachuhu. Okay, it should be l'ratzon, meaning you should do it with the proper kavanot. It's very complicated. It has to be done with the idea of doing it for the Beit HaMikdash, in this day, at this time, etc., etc. V'im he'achol ye'achel bayom hashlishi, pigulhu lo yeratzeh. You cannot leave korbanot more than 2 days. The maximum amount of korbanot time is 2 days. Two days and two nights. After that, it's called pigul. It's you're not allowed to eat it. It's treif. Okay? Any korban past its time is treif. So think about this. When they used to cook the korban, so then the ta'am of the korban in the pot after 2 days is also treif. Right? Because it's like, it's like, think about it. It's like your chametz. Right? If you use a chametz pot, it it expires. It becomes non-chum. So we put it away, but they only had one set of chums. Anyway, v'im he'achol ye'achav, okay, v'achlav avono yisa, and he who eats it, he shall bear his sin, ki ad kodesh Hashem chilel, he has desecrated that which is holy to God, v'nichreta ha'nefesh ahi me'ameha. Okay, and he shall be sure that's karet, to eat that, to eat leftover korban. Just think about it this way. Without modern refrigeration, what would happen to meat after more than 2 days? It goes off. So what's the only way to save meat? What would be the only way to save
dry
it?
Dry it
or cure it or what have you. Is that an honorable way of eating meat?
Biltong.
Right, it's wonderful. That's why they made biltong. You know, now you sell it for very expensive. But the reason why they always made it was because that was the only way to cure it. You would cure it in order to preserve it. Otherwise, it would go bad. But that's not a mechubad way of eating meat. Right. Think about the right. Oh, the biltong? Uh-huh. I've never had it. So if anybody wants to, you know, and share an experience of the biltong, there's some guy in Ranan, I think, who sells it. Oh, yeah? Is it good?
Yeah. He makes his own.
Really?
He's got a biltong machine, and he sticks a piece of meat in there.
There's a machine?
Wow. It's a dehydrator.
Dehydrator machine.
That's what it is?
Dehydrator.
Small Bloom.
Okay, I'm digressing, but I would love to have a small bloom. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not going to have one because it's like this huge contraption and it makes a nightmare of a smoke all over the place. But that's the way to eat your meat. What? Oh, he bought one. Didn't he buy one?
Really?
He bought himself a smoker. Yeah, we'll have to talk. Okay. Ubekutzrechem et kitzir. This is the pasuk that I want to focus on. Okay? Ubekutzrechem et kitzir artzrechem. Lo techale pe'at sarcha liktzor. When you harvest the harvest of your land, lo techale pe'at sarcha liktzor. Kale, lechale, translation? You should not finish or destroy the corner of your field to cut. Veleket kitzircha lo tilaket. Leket is the collection of your katzir. Okay, the collection of your katzir, you should not tilaket, collect. Okay, we'll continue. V'char mecha lo te'oleo. Right, these are impossible words to know unless you know them in the context of the Masorah. Kerem, we know. What is kerem?
Vineyard.
Lo te'oleo. What are olelot? Anybody know what they are? Olelot are the weak, the weak bunches of grapes. They're the ones the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, without katef. Right, you know, like when you have a cluster of grapes, it forms this beautiful sort of heart-shaped shape. So if it doesn't grow properly, and it just, you know, a miskin grape, right, underdeveloped, that's olelot. So leave those, lot to olel. I mean, it's a word that has only meaning in the context if you know what it means. Okay, if you look at Rashi for a second, lot to olel, lot titol olelot sheba, v'hendi karot. Okay, it's recognizable. Eza olelot, what is the olelot? Kol she'elo lo katef lo natef. It doesn't have a corner in the katef. It doesn't have a shoulder lo natef. I think it means the tail maybe. What?
The grapes hanging on a stalk which has no arm and no trunk.
Trunk, right. Meaning, like if it's a misformed cluster of grapes. Lo to ola, leave that.
Is that ola lo katef, like hearing the name
of the name? What? It could be. That's why they named it after. Ola lo are the miskenot of, you know what I'm saying? Great. Okay. But katef is a play on words because it's not Katif of...
No,
right, exactly. Anyway, karmecha lo telaket, uferet, karmecha, again, peret karmecha, okay, things that fall down, right, the grapes that fall down, lo telaket, le'ani velager ta'azov otam, you shall leave them, azov, what is la'azov? Okay, where else do we see the context of la'azov? Anybody know there's another place where we see that? Ya'azov, we do see that, right? There's another place that azov means something else. Anybody know? Okay, it says when you're chamor sonacha rovetet tachat masao. The pasuk says azov ta'azov imo. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but
what
does it mean?
Oh, what does that mean?
Don't leave.
Right, azov ta'azov imo means help him. Azov ta'azov. So here it means le'ani ve'le'ger ta'azov otam. Very fascinating. Anyway, ani Hashem Elokechem. And let's just read on two more psukim because I'm going to see if these are relevant. What does it mean?
It's important.
That's all it means? I'm the Lord your God? What? These are really serious things, anyway. But we've had Ani Hashem Elokechem about Al tifnu al ha'alilim. Okay? And now we see it again about matnot aniyim they're called. I actually think matnot aniyim is a misnomer. Because matnot aniyim, we consider them. How do you translate matnot aniyim? Gifts to the poor. Okay? Are these gifts? Well, but are you gifting it to them? Wait, let's read on one more person.
It's never yours to give.
I'm going somewhere. Lo tignovu. Next pasuk. One more pasuk. Lo tignovu. Don't steal. Okay? And this is what kind of theft?
Money.
Don't steal. Right, because where else there's another lo tignov? Where else is there another lo tignov? Ten Commandments. Do you know what Ten Commandments is talking about? No, look at Rashi. Rashi says, very good. Look at Rashi. Lo tignovu. Rashi and Yod Aleph. Lo tignovu. Asara legonid mamon. This is the warning. The lo tignovu. They steal money. Aval lo tignovu shebasera tadibrot. Asara legonid nefashot. That's kidnapping. Right. The lo tignovu in the Ten Commandments says, don't kidnap. Okay? Anyway. Velo techachashu. Velo techakru ish ba'amito. Lekachesh means to deny. And don't lie. Each person, each ba'amitam, each person which is fellow man. Okay, we're going to stop here. Let's go back to the psukim about peah and leket. Ubekutzrichem, back on my pasuk 10, because this is what I want to focus on today. Ubekutzrichem et ketzir artzichem, when you harvest the harvest of your field. Lo techale fa'atzarcha litzor. Do not techale, consume the corner of your field. So the Parshanim immediately noticed something incongruous about the Pasuk. Did you notice it? I didn't notice it until I looked at the Parshanim. I'll just be honest with you. Did you notice it? Very good. Right. Where's the incongruity? What did just explain what you're saying? What you're seeing?
That the phraseology is in parallel. That it uses leket to leket.
Oh, I didn't see that. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about something else. I thought you were referring to this. Ubekutzrichem et ketzir artzichem is in the plural. And then immediately, lo techale. Right? You should not. So the Mefarshim also I'll talk about. Why does it start off in the plural and then continue in the singular? And then it's kamachal lo techale. One second. Lo techale. Interesting. Okay. One second. So, and you notice something else. Then it says, so what is the commandment?
Yeah.
Yafeh.
So it's when you collectively, Jewish people, harvest the harvest of your land, meaning Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of you needs to do this in your individual fields.
Okay. But that it's not the way, that's not very good, it's not the way the Parshanim learn it. It is interesting that this is considered a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. Right? That peah in Eretz Yisrael is the oraita. It does apply in chutz la'aretz, but it's only the rabbanan. Now, there's a mitzvah peah the rabbanan. Okay? One second. What's the mitzvah? What is the mitzvah?
It's a los asay.
To leave some of your crop. What did you say?
It's a los asay, not a asay.
Which
not leave.
Which is it? What's the mitzvah?
It's not to do something.
Not to what?
Not to take it.
Okay.
Not to harvest it.
Okay. Really? What's the mitzvah? So is it to say you said the mitzvah was to leave?
Right.
Why did you say that?
Makes no sense.
Well, the answer is because the Torah says it. Look at the second pasuk. V'chamecha lo to it says. V'chamecha lo to eliferet chamelo to lakeit leani v'lager ta'azov otam ani Hashem elakechem. So which is it? Is it a positive commandment or is it a negative commandment?
Sure.
The answer is
both.
If you look in the chinuch,
yes,
it's counted twice. The chinuch says.
Well, there's two different aspects to it.
What?
There's two different aspects to it, so it makes sense that it's counted twice.
Well, okay, now explain what you're saying.
The one aspect is you, as the farmer, are recognizing that not everybody has what there is. On the other hand, you're also teaching somebody to work, for lack of a better way, because they have to go and harvest it. It's not like you're just leaving go pick up the watermelon, you know. They have to go and do the work in order to get the, with the hope that maybe they'll learn and come out of the cycle.
They have to check each one. They have to check each one and make sure.
Of the
and then leave that one.
Job.
It's an action also.
Right, but one is holding back.
I want to focus on what Karen says is a very strong point for me. It's a really strong point for me, right? The Torah did not say, give money to support people. It did not say that at all. And I think there's an important, there's a message, like, it seems very paternalistic, like, when I say it, yeah.
Very what?
What? I heard the word. The Torah did not say.
Forget politics. From a psychological perspective, when you do something and you accomplish something and you work at it, it improves your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself, and it builds on a cycle.
Right. Why did the Torah not?
I mean,
okay. The thing that I struggle with is, you have to ask yourself is, what about today? Have you ever seen a field? We all live around the fields. Have you ever seen payoff?
No.
I've never been looking, but no.
Right. You ever notice that? Like, they do Orla, they do Shvi'it, nobody does pay.
I see people going into the fields and that are not workers there.
Yeah, I go in the fields, but I'm not supposed to.
I don't pick anything. What about the organization Leket?
Oh, beautiful. Well, how do they do that? First of all, they pick whole fields. And what they're doing is they're picking fields where either the farmer can't pick it, it's not worth it for them. I mean, there's like...
The labor is too high.
There's a whole economy of agriculture that we have no concept of.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And between you and me, the picking that we do, I hope the Lekka people don't get mad at me for saying this, but the cholamoid picking that they do is much more for PR than it is for vegetables. Right. Like it, which is great. I mean, I think it's wonderful. It's great. Right? Very legitimate, but you know what I'm saying? It would be much easier for them, and save them a lot of money if they didn't have to organize all of the families to come and pick a few, you know, a few kohlrabi. But the idea is to get people into the sense of giving.
When it's saying leave the abnormal fruit or the stuff that's not really marketable,
mm-hmm.
it's not saying leave your best stuff. Mm-hmm. It's saying don't touch if it's a little bit off, you know, leave it.
No, they're not saying that at all. We're saying don't touch a little bit off. That's leket ololo. What about peah?
Oh, I thought they were like...
Okay, lahaniach peyamina tvua. The mitzvah says, reish tetzain is a mitzvah, I'm reading the chinuch, lahaniach. Lahaniach is mitzvat
aseh.
Reish yud zayin, shelo lechalota peyam besadeh. A mitzvah lo ta'aseh. It's fascinating. How many other mitzvot are there? There's a few, I don't think anything off the top of my head. But how many other mitzvot are there where you have a mitzvah to do something and not to not do it? You know what I'm saying? It's a very fascinating thing. It emphasizes what?
That's a double negative. It's a positive.
Yes, it is.
So why are they both positive?
Shelo lechalot. Do not destroy. It's not to not do it. It's not. Don't cut. Don't harvest your entire field.
One is you holding back, and one is you giving to others.
But it's also an action.
Wait a second. I don't know. What is giving to others? You're not giving anything to anybody.
They're taking.
Yeah, but when you don't, when you
we're going to come back to your point because I agree with you.
Allow leaders to come to your field. You are. That's an act of giving.
Yeah. Okay, I totally agree with you, but B totally disagree with you, right?
From Hashem,
fair enough,
right? And this is the thing that I like. You know, as you read the Mishnah of Peah, as you learn them. At least for me, it's sort of concretizing this notion. There's a really fine line between giving and sharing, or actively being participating and not participating. You know, and finding that line, what is the person's role in helping other people? How active should he be? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the ideal tzedakah?
Helping somebody to help themselves.
What? Correct?
Giving them a job.
And if you can't do that, okay, but that's not tzedakah. That's not tzedakah. If I give somebody a job, it's a tremendous chesed, and you put people on there, that's like the best thing you could possibly do, that's not tzedakah. No. That's not tzedakah. It's great. If you gave 82 people a job in your business, you're an incredible person, and you're building the economy, and you're helping people, you still have to give tzedakah.
Okay, what if you gave tzedakah to help somebody build a business? Like,
you're an investor.
You're only an investor if you're asking for a share of the return. If you're not asking for anything in return, I'm saying I have 10,000.
It's great, great question. These are all great questions. Okay, fine. I'm with you. Okay. Now, you're right.
Can we just say, like, if we think of, you know, the obvious guy know, who let people come and glean his Boaz, right?
Correct.
And he's
beautiful. I was going to mention Ruth also. We're going to talk about that. That's great.
Okay, but he, you know, he's seen as a great Ish Chesed.
Mm-hmm.
And he does take an active role. So it could be that, like,
wait, in what way does he take an active role? In what way? In what area? The Psukim are very clear about what area.
He comes and he tells her, you know, come to my field, right?
Tells
come
his
to my
to
field.
The base.
He tells, according to the Midrash, he tells the reapers to drop extra wheat.
Correct. Why? No, what's that called? What's that called? It's very important. There's categories. What's that called halachically? The dropping of the wheat. That's called? Leket. Shikha is after I bundled it and I carried everything in. This is fascinating. I left it. I was talking to Patacha last night. We were learning this mission last night. Shikha is a mitzvah you cannot do on purpose.
It's all about intent.
You cannot intend. He's like, one second, what if you just leave it on purpose? I said, then he said, and the more you think about doing shikha, the less you can do it because then you'll remember to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's the white elephant that you're not thinking about right now.
It's what you left by mistake?
Yes. Shichacha. It's what you forgot. You cannot intentionally forget. You can give, but you cannot intentionally forget. It's not shichacha.
Because it has an effect on you.
You cannot take
it's about your actions, what you do intentionally.
It's fascinating. So what you're talking about is leket. What's leket? Leket is the droppings, right? The halacha of leket is if I pick something up and it falls, I can't pick it up again. That's leket.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but what was Boaz doing?
He was telling them to drop
oops.
On purpose.
Mm. Oops! You know what I'm saying? Like, right, she was following behind. He was doing a chesed for her. Right, that's the greatness of Boaz. Right, he was taking an active role. What about Peah? What about Peah? It doesn't mention the Peah.
In Ruth?
No, it doesn't mention Peah. You know why it doesn't mention Peah in Ruth? Because he can't leave Peah for Ruth. Well, it's for everyone. You can't. You are prohibited, and we're gonna see this inside. You are prohibited from determining who you give payah to. Right, and that's this by design as well. La'ani v'lager ta'azov otam, ani Hashem Elokechem. What is this idea of ta'azov otam? It's like this. So like these ideas, like I don't know. You can see that I don't have it. Sort of like it's, I'm sorry if it's a mishkabibble of ideas, but this it's a fascinating combination of, that's why it's not called matnot aniyim. Ta'azov otam means you pull back. La'azov. I.e. So what's the message of that? What's the message of that idea?
It's about dignity.
I see it that ta'azov otam, this is the corner of your field, you pull back. So you're sort of
it's about you.
Out of the picture.
Out of the picture.
Right.
In removing yourself from the field itself. You know, it's your property, your land.
But Hashem's to give.
But you're not. But you know what I'm saying? Don't cut this piece of the field. This piece of the field belongs to everyone. You know, it's sort of like a Shemitah throughout the whole year. Like that this doesn't belong to you necessarily. It's such an important message.
It doesn't belong to everyone. It belongs to the ger and the
oni. It belongs to the poor.
Where a Shemitah, anybody can go into your field.
Correct.
Is there like a percentage that this corners have to be?
Excellent question. Terrific question. Halachically, what is the mitzvah of Peah? I'll ask you. Anybody know? Anybody know? What's the...
What?
Nope. Anybody know? Okay. So there's a very famous Mishnah that we say in Birchot HaShachar. Oh, you might say it in the Birchot HaShachar. This is the first Mishnah in Masechet Peah. Very good. Elu Dvarim She'en Lehem Shiur. First word?
Peah.
Right. According to the Torah, how much? It says, Peah Tzadcha. How much? That's right.
Really?
Seriously.
So you can cut corners.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's weird.
Why?
Because, like, so much of tzedakah is defined, you know, like your maser and your, you know.
Yeah, but no.
So,
no.
It's
me do all right. Yeah.
But this also actively makes you a participant in the, right? If your thesis is that you're not really actively giving by leaving payah.
Right.
So that could be true if you leave that much, but maybe you're becoming a more active participant as you
Okay, take the sheets.
Let's
even the round. Let's look at the round, Mom. Take the sheets for a second. Okay. I need one, and then my printer is really dying, so it's the Koshi. No, you can. You're good. Yeah, that's right. You guys. Okay. Line one. Okay.
I see this whole thing is about a metamorphosis, about self-development.
About what?
Self-development, like how you view yourself and what you're willing to do, how you're willing to grow. Like if you're willing to say, okay, this is so hard for me. I need this field, this whole area to make X amount of money. But I understand that there are people that have nothing. Okay, so I'm going to close my eyes and I'm not going to take everything I need, everything I want. And you grow from that simultaneously by closing your eyes.
Can you imagine, by the way, how hard it is when you're cutting your field to leave something? Yeah. Just
that's
to leave
point.
It. By the way, I was going to see. Can you imagine how long do you think that corner of the field lasted?
Not long.
How long?
A couple of hours.
Minutes.
Yeah.
What?
Minutes.
Whoa.
Why?
Because the people are waiting on the sign.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what I'm saying, on the same time.
I imagined myself like in olden times when poor people really had nothing to eat. Right? They were waiting for the payoff. Like Ruth went out to the field. The reason Naomi was so surprised when she came back is like, whoa, how did you do so well? Right? She was shocked. Like,
there were tons of poor people.
You could only imagine. It's a dog eat dog world out there. And you leave it and remember, it's for everyone. Okay? So there are Mishnayot, a fascinating Mishnayot, that say the following. You're not allowed to fall on the pe'ah and cover it and say, this is mine. You're not allowed to throw a blanket on this and cover it. You're not allowed to take what you pull out and then throw it and try to hide other people. And if you do that, they'll kick you out of the field and you can't keep any pe'ah.
That all just goes with what I'm saying. Because on the such chain aid, the people have to come in and do it in a dignified way.
Dignified. It doesn't speak to me about the dignity at all. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying when you're not allowed to do this,
here
you have
to
behave in a certain
way. It says, Natal Miksat, I'm reading in Pe'ah, Perek Dalet Mishnah Gimel, Natal Miksat Pe'ah Uzraka Al Ashar. Let's say you took some Pe'ah and threw it on the rest. Right? It's mine. So why? Because you want to do it so that people will come and think that it's all cut down already before you could get to it. And then they're going to come, Ein lo baklum, i.e., you're ejected. Red card. Right? Sorry. You don't get anything.
Is there someone who's like the...
A referee?
God.
It really made me think of a football match. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to...
Football is a soccer, American football?
I don't know. Match is a soccer.
It's not
Derek
Harris.
Okay. When it's up, if you're the one that's starving and your children don't have what to eat, Derek Hertz goes out the window.
Yes.
What?
It's
easy for us to say.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The fact that this Mishnah exists, it tells me about the balagan that must have prevailed at the time. Just okay. Moreover, the Mishnah says, you know how you harvest payah? With your hands. No tools. En kotzrin ela b'magalot. No tools.
So you're tired, you're weak, and you're hungry.
Why?
So you have to go to the field and...
Right. No, do you know why? Mishnah says.
Get wounded.
Because I could become a witch. You are exactly right. Kadesh lo yaku ish et re'eho. That's in the Mishnah.
No, I did. I read some of it. It's really for 10 shekels a thing, but it's extra chaos. It's a total zudon camp. Someone put on... Somewhere in
Beijing, I don't know, somewhere.
Like,
yeah.
That kind of feeling. 10 shekels a chicken, I'm
going,
everyone's going, and I'll get a 30 shekels a chicken.
Spend 30
shekels
a
chicken.
I need
chicken.
It's not me,
I'm saying. Yeah.
You know,
it was 15
shekel
here, and it was
fine.
Okay,
but
I don't remember
the
right
answer.
Right,
but the
balagan.
Zoo,
don't even think about that, you know?
Yeah. But these are in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah itself. You know what I'm saying?
So
that people.
Happened.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because when you're reading.
That's right.
But if you think about, like, when the UN goes in and they drop those food packages to some of these African nations,
correct?
They have that; they're under armed guard.
Yeah, so that everyone's taking.
Yeah.
Meaning, so we said all of these things. So why is there no payout today? So the poskim say there's no payout today for two reasons. One, we assume halachic. Well, in Chutzar, it was Durabanan. One second, they were drabanan and they didn't want to leave it for the non-Jewish society. There was no way to get it. If you left it, anybody could come and take it.
Uh-huh.
The same was true in Israel up to the creation of the state. But now the Chatam Sofer writes, nobody wants it.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do with dry wheat.
Right.
Right.
Isn't it fascinating? Like,
but it's, there should be maybe like a parallel.
It's not just wheat. It's
super. How do you create?
The supermarkets leave their stale bread. I don't know if it's the same. Their day old bread. They can't sell it. They leave it. And people come and take it.
That's not the same. They would
not
have to. That's not the same.
Exactly.
And first of all, why the supermarket? Why shouldn't you, as you, soon as you leave, you should have to, like, you know, somebody should come and say, somebody should come and say, okay, for the poor people have now can take two items from your cart. Any two items.
Sometimes they do.
They take it to the
Like you're giving.
Yes, it's voluntary.
You understand? Meaning what I'm trying to convey to you is once we look deeper into this, into these psukim, we see that, that there's an ethic here that's much more than giving tzedakah.
Yeah.
It's about ownership of land. It's about giving ownership to the ani. It's about withdrawing. It's a positive and a negative. It's about not taking that which doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. Okay? It belongs to God. It's about empowering him, but also requiring him to do the effort of literally pulling with his hands and then going and producing the wheat on his own. Why don't you say, give him the grain? The Torah could easily have said, not pay out, right? Go give it to him after you've harvested it. Go give it to him after you ground it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were in the Banyas. There's an old granary. You know, one of the original granaries. Did you go to the Banyas? Gorgeous. So beautiful. Oh my God. It's like, you don't really think you're in Israel when you go to the Banyas. It's incredible.
Just come out, you can't go in anymore.
What?
You can't go in anymore.
In the water, right.
Yeah.
They
it's dangerous.
Cold.
No, they closed it off.
Dangerous?
You,
I think because of danger.
I don't know. If you take the tiyul, if you walk from one to the other, there is a point at which you can go.
Not legally.
What's legally? I don't know what you mean.
I'm
anyway.
Legally. Say.
It's between you and me, I put my feet in. It's free.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's a snow melt. Anyway, there's an old granary, you know what I'm saying? And there's a sign there. The guy who does the grinding, the fee for grinding is 1/10 of the flour.
Huh.
Of course.
Right.
You know, think about the ani, to get it from point A to point B, you got to thresh it. You know what threshing is? If you cut the stalks, and I've got wheat stalks, you know what kind of pain in that, like, we don't have any notion of what it means. Threshing means you throw it on the floor, or either you walk on it, or you leave it and people walk on it, or if you've got an animal, right, you've all seen the picture of the animals walking around, right? Then you got to winnow it. Then finally, once you winnow it, you separate it. Then you got to pick out the, these are all hechot Shabbat. You got to pick out all the garbage, okay? Then you take it, and he takes off his thing. Then you take it to the baker, and he bakes his thing. Like, this poor ani, by the time he's done, like, maybe he's lucky with a little bread left. That's what the Torah wanted. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be part of the process, part of the production process. I know you're thinking your conservative values.
I'm actually thinking of the black woman in South Africa that used to then take the wheat that was left over and weave baskets.
Mm. Right?
Mm. Like there was nothing left to waste.
No, people didn't waste. Nobody wastes anything. Okay? So all of these things are part of the ethic of pay-up. Oh, but so what did we learn? Let's look at the Rambam. Rambam says, "Akotzer tzadehu, one who cuts off, one who harvests his field, lo yiktzor et kol ha'sadeh kula, ela yaniach me'at kama la'aniyim besof ha'sadeh." Me'at kama. Me'at, how much is a me'at? A little bit. Okay? Shne'emar, as it says, lo techale pe'at sarcha bekutzrecha. You should not techale. Okay? Now, Echad hakotzer echad atolesh v'zeh hameniach ulikra peyah. It doesn't matter if you cut it, doesn't matter if you pull it, doesn't matter what you do, you have to leave it. U'keshem shemeniach basadeh kach be'ilanot. This halakha applies both for produce and also for trees, fruit trees. You have to leave. Ke'osefet peyotan meniach ma'at la'aniyim. I'm going to skip a little bit. And the halakha is you have to leave it in the field, but if you didn't, even if you harvested it, you have to then take off and give to the aniyim. But the ideal is to leave it. Line 10. See where I am, line 10? Kol matnot aniyim ha'elu einam nuagot min ha'Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael ketrumot u'ma'asrot. Okay, these are only in Israel. Who said that? Ketzir artzachem. You said that?
Yeah.
One of you two said that? Right? Your land. Ki tiktzor ketzircha besadeh. U'kfar nitparesh bagmara sha'pe'ah noheget b'chutz la'aretz midivrehem. Midivrehem means d'rabanan. The same is true for all the other gifts to the poor, okay? That they are both midoraita in Eretz Yisrael, midrabanan chutz la'aretz. 13. Kami shiur peya. Min haTorah ein la shiur. Right, this is what's fascinating. Elu dvarim she'ein lahem shiur. No shiur peya. Okay? So how much should you give? How much should you give? What's it dependent upon?
How big your field is.
Well,
it should be a percentage.
How big your heart is.
That's right.
But it should be a percentage.
Remember we ended off, Ani Hashem Elokechem?
Yeah.
Right? It all depends on, you know, the Mishnah in Peah says, okay, there's a line in the Mishnah that says, okay, I'll read it to you. It is fascinating when you get a whole like
exactly
a...
exactly how big your heart is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Think of today, like, people who are huge donors, right? They have huge resources. They just have more to give. Now, there are people who have a lot of resources who don't give. Do you know what I'm saying? But...
Look at her. She meets them all the time. I don't know, like... What do you think? I'm sorry. What do you think when the person who has when a person who's a gazillionaire says to you, "I really can't this year. My stocks just didn't do well this year." How do you keep a straight face to say to yourself, "Okay, don't like you know what I'm saying? Like my stocks only went up 3%, so I'm only worth $32 million instead of $31.7 million, right? You met people like that. So what do you say? How do you like?"
Yeah, I don't like I just keep all my personal thoughts to myself. That's why they let me come back the next year.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't phone like the middle class and ask them for 10 million shekels.
Of course not.
Right? No, so I'm saying.
But it's not quantity. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not amount. It's not amount. It's amount as proportion to what you can.
That's what I meant about percentage.
Okay, but amount of what you can is determined by
your heart.
Your heart.
Okay.
Correct.
It's also determined by your needs. Your personal
needs.
Your standard of living.
Well.
Did you see Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg had a beautiful, beautiful piece about Pesach? He said Pesach is, before Pesach he wrote this, I should have shared it. He said Pesach is one of the most trying times because on the one hand, half of my congregation is going to the Bahamas.
I read that.
Right?
The
other half of my congregation, or not half, like, okay, it's like 20% are going to the Bahamas and the Bermuda and spending literally tens of thousands of dollars and they can afford it. And there's another 10% that can't afford matzah. Right?
It's not matzah, it's Pesach.
No, Shmur matzah. They can't afford Pesach. They can't afford the meat. They can't afford the wine. They can't afford it. They literally can't afford it. Right? And so he had this novel idea that said your tzedakah should be proportionate to the amount that you're spending on your Pesach. Which I thought was a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful that, you know, if you can spend that much on yourself,
right,
which you should. He said it in this way. Absolutely should. There's nothing wrong with it. That's how you want to spend your money. Your, you know, God gave you. But understand, then you should be able to give more as well.
But that's what I'm saying. If it's a percentage, it makes a lot of sense. If you leave it up to people's subjectivity, it's a... There's objectively less going to
tzedakah.
But that's why it says,
Ani Hashem
Elokecha.
Right? Skip to line 13. Skip to line 13.
Whatever charity you want me to give you, just keep in mind that I'm going to treat you a certain way. Show me how you treat others and...
Line 13. Kama hu shiur peya. Mina Torah ein la shiur. Afilu hiniach shibolet achat yatza yedei chovato. Cheap S.O.B. Okay?
I have to say, stop on this word peya. It's really bothering.
Why? Peya, a corner.
I'll tell you why. Isn't
that
a head covering?
No, peyano chris.
Yeah,
no, that's a...
Okay.
Oh,
it's
spelled
differently?
Yeah,
because
no.
I'm just thinking about these women and...
Leaving their shekels on the fields? I mean,
no,
like...
No, I'm thinking that they walk around with these magnificent peyot and are on welfare. That's like... Just an image. Sorry. The words...
Different shoe.
There is a gamach for that too, you know.
About...
There is.
About me divrei hem... I was going to share a story.
You'll hold back.
I'm holding back.
Tazo.
Ask me after I turn off the recorder. After I turn off the recorder, I want to share with you the story. No, it's not.
Just keep carrying it right in this whole conversation.
Avami Dibrahim says the Rambam, and this is based on the Mishnah, En Pachod Me'echad Mishishim. You have to give 160th.
Oh, okay.
So Chazal, you feel better now? Chazal said, came along and said, not so much.
It's not exactly 2%.
No, but it's more than 10%.
No, 160th.
160th.
No, 160th.
It's like...
1.6%. 1.6%.
That's like what? Six levatel in kashrut.
I never thought of that. Betel b'shishim.
What levatel? It's so small.
No, less than. No, no less than shishim. It can't be batel. It has to be more than a shishim.
But still, it's so small.
It's the minimum.
Yeah.
You don't like that? Well,
but
I want to remind you, there is something
there
is something. First of all, there are other things. There's leket shikra peya.
Yeah.
There's also what's called maaser ani. You give maaser ani, but only 2 years out of seven. So how much does that take? 20% out of your total. Somebody do the math, okay? And figure out, like, how much total a person is required. Oh, that's you? Do the math.
No.
Wait.
We don't have yacht,
if you have total 700%, 600% out of 7 years, you have to give 20% out of 600 during the second and the second and sixth year, and then a 60th each year, that's one, you know, so 60ths.
And you've got all the shikha happening.
All the shikha is happening. How much?
Mistake.
How much mistake are you really making?
Well, you make a lot. And I think in those days, they were less efficient. It's not like you've got these days a machine.
You're doing it by hand. How big do you think your field was? It's not like these machines are covering these huge areas. How many fields do you think the average person had? How much could he cover? Right. It was,
not
you know,
so
not so much. Every grain counted. Every single grain. Like, you're not using huge farms that are harvesting. The yields that we have are fantastic compared to what they would yield in their fields. And the weeds and, like...
Yeah, because we have to provide...
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's a good question.
The things are fascinating. The Mishnah talked about what happens if thieves come and steal half your field. You know, they just cut half your field. What are you going
to
do? Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
yeah.
So the Rambam says 1/60. Okay. It says the Rambam. Look at line 14. Ben ba'aretz ben b'chutzaretz u'mosif al echad mishishim. You have to add from a 60th lefi godel hasadeh, according to the size of the field, u'lefi rov ha'aniim u'lefi birkat hazera, based upon the size of the field, the amount of poor you have, and how well the field does. Now, I want to quote you, it's very fascinating, from the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says, this is...
I took the Fibri Patazera, and I mean, obviously, you're right.
How many kids you have?
How many kids you have? How many kids you have?
Yes.
Oh, fascinating.
Your needs.
Okay, says the Mishnah. I'm going to read you the language of the Mishnah itself. En pochatin lepeya mishishin. No less than a 60th. Ve'af al pi she'amru en lepeya shi'ur. Even though, like, wait, we just said, Eli Vareim she'en lehem shi'ur. Isn't it fascinating? That's a Mishnah that is recited by Jews around the world every day.
What?
Well, the reason you say... What you say on Mishnah every day is because after
that's
you learn Birchat HaTorah, Chazal instituted you to learn something from...
There are a million Mishnahs, no? I mean, not a million, but there are lots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it
ends with...
Birchat HaTorah, it ends with the Talmud Torah connected
to
Kulam.
Yeah,
I like... your liberal things. Talmud Torah connected to Kulam. Okay. Says the Mishnah. And even though we said in Kishur, Hakol lefi godel hasadeh, this is for the Rambam. Hakol lefi godel hasadeh, right? That's what the Rambam says. Ulefi rov ha'aniim. Listen to this phrase. Ulefi rov ha'anava. Ulefi rov ha'anava. They're the word anava. Anava. So the Rambam translates, how does he translate it? Rov ha'anava, birkat hazera. Anava from yield, from anavim, from produce. In the Mishnah, some versions have it as a vav, some versions have it as a bet. Okay, but if it's anava, what is anava in the
Devav? It's humility.
Yes, with your own humility. I was like, I immediately gravitated to that.
Wow.
Right? You know how much you give? What's anava? What is humility? What is humility?
Yeah,
humility is the opposite of, what's the opposite of humility? I did this. Kochiva otem yadi. Mine. Comes along God and says, really? Okay, fine. You know what? You know how much you have to leave? A grain. Yeah, I don't make you do anything. What's going to determine how much you leave? How much you think it's mine, and how much you think it's his. It's such a... the Chachamim came along. Why did the Chachamim come along and say 1/60th? Why did the Chachamim come along and do that? Why did the Chachamim come along and do anything?
Because we're not so good always.
Right. That's exactly why.
1/60th, I'm saying if you want the aniyim to actually have, then you would make it... No.
So then, it's personally fascinating. Why didn't Chazal come along and say Maaser?
Yeah, why?
Well, the answer is,
I don't know.
They gave him.
If you said Maaser, then a person would end up giving more than Maaser of all their personal finances.
altogether. So say a fifth, say whatever, say a seventh, say a third, say, you know, say whatever, say the amount that would get you to Maaser. They didn't want to do that. Why? Why did they say a 60th? Like you said, a 60th is almost Batel. Oh, which is?
Which is everything we just discussed.
Right. Which is? You decide. Okay, 60th, that's a minimum. Okay, but really? 60th of your field? Like, there are a lot of poor people out there. And if you think they're, like, you know, thank God we live in a time, the Chatam Sofer writes, like, the reason why he died, we don't, as I said, we don't give payout today is because nobody is, thank God, literally starving. The way we understand it, people are not literally starving. They may, their food quality is not good, and they don't have the amount of produce that we have, but when we talk about literally starving, where people didn't have what to eat. So now people can't afford to finish the month, they can't afford their, you know, their electricity. I'm not talking about their own poor people, there clearly are poor people.
But you're talking about
fascinating example of a mitzvah d'oraita changing when a rationale changes.
Correct, no, but it is a fascinating example. This is a mitzvah d'oraita that all chachamim are saying, the reason they get out of it, but they have an out. The out is that they learn out from a hekesh that peah is d'oraita when trumot and ma'asod are d'oraita. So when is that a d'oraita? One of two possibilities. Rov am Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael. So,
soon.
Right?
Yeah,
or the other out in Shemitah is when the Shvatim return. The Rambam has this language that when the Shvatim return to their Nachala, which is, that's only Yimot HaMashiach. That's like a real out. They're like, when...
But don't we keep
the Trumot HaMashiach? Drabbanon. It's all Drabbanon. It's all Drabbanon. We do keep it, yeah.
I know we shouldn't, but
this is a deoraita. We talk about it as being as truma being a deoraita, but it might be we're choshesh that what if it isn't, you know, like peah, you can give it in other ways. You give tzedakah anyway, and they didn't want people. Basically, the point was the least peah would be futile. Like the poor people don't want it, and you know the Arabs who come and take it all. You know what I'm saying? There'd be businesses of young people going around cutting up the fields and going and harvesting it. That's basically what it would turn into. Only someone who's set up to do it. Like, who would come to Yad Binyamin and cut the fields in Beit Chilkiah? It just wouldn't make any sense. You know, so, but the ethic of Peah, the Chazal didn't want to get rid of it. They said, okay, 60th. You know, but even though we said 60th, so we said 60th, even though the Torah said any amount. Because, you know, really. But we only said 60th because you decide. Let's look at that. Look at the Sefer HaChinuch. What's it about? We're good. Mishashia Mitzvah. The roots of the Mitzvah. Remember, the Chinuch always gives the rationale that he sees for this mitzvah. Ki Hashem Baruch Hashem ratza liot amo asher bachar me'atrim b'chol midah v'yikara. He wanted them to be me'utarim, crowned with every good midah, every good attribute. B'shiyelem nefesh berucha beruach nediva. He wanted them to have a giving spirit. U'kvar katavti, and I wrote, ki mitoch ha'peulot titpa'el ha'nefesh v'tiyah tova. You want to be some way? Act some way. You want to be giving? You want to be generous? Act generous. And then the blessing of God will come. There was no doubt. When a person leaves off in his field, and I'm on line 22, and leaves his produce and makes it hafker for others, that others should benefit, his soul will be satiated, and will have a blessed and positive spirit. Because God has given me, I have enough to leave off. You think about it, to go to the grocery store and say, you know, I really don't need this much chicken. And the answer between us probably often is?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. That's powerful.
You know what else has been jumping out at me here?
Yeah.
Is that people give these big donations and they expect their name on a plaque on the shul.
Yeah.
Or they expect to be an honorary member of the Chevra Kedisha and their name up there on the pamphlets and whatever. But what's coming out here is you do it in a modest way that nobody knows.
It's funny because
there are two sides to that.
I don't know.
Everybody knows. Everyone knows how much of your field you're giving.
Everybody knows. Everybody.
It's this guy that Cohen gave a little corner and Levy gave a huge
and Schwartz is real. Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes
I don't agree with you. I think everybody knows. And B, in fact, I don't agree with you halachically. There's a halachic question. Do I have to actually leave the corner or can I leave the middle of my field? Does it have to be the corner?
Yeah.
Why did the Torah say specifically leave the edge of the field?
Easier to access.
Oh, well, if I give access, I give access. Mm. So the Gemara in Shabbat, Taf Chaf Aleph, I think says, look, I have to quote him here, he says that really the Chazal made a takana that you have to leave off in the corner of the field. You have to. Even though really you could leave off in the beginning, that, so there's a machloket, if I leave in the middle, can I have to leave like a lot in the end? I can leave almost nothing in the end, etc., etc. So he says there's a few reasons. The first reason is gezel aniyim. Why? Because if I leave in the middle of the field, and I say, okay, that's peah, I can bring my friend, the ani, and say, you see that area? That's my peah. Go take. He says, and the other aniyim wouldn't know. That's not fair. One. Two, nebitul aniyim. Because all the aniyim, he says, are waiting for peah. So if they know that they don't know when I'm going to leave it off, I'm going to say, okay, peah. They have to stand all day and wait. Nah, that's not fair. Three, b'pnei chshad. He says, what's chshad? Because people walking by, they're going to see the corner of your field. Gone. What are they going to say?
Student.
No. He spoke, or that cheap SOB didn't leave K.A.
He left the field.
And then there's another one, fourth one, b'pnei ramaim. Cheaters. They're going to say, hey, you didn't leave K.A. No, I took it off in the middle. So this way, everybody knows you left K.A. You know what I'm saying? So in the Gemara talks about it's very public. Very public. Everybody knew who did what and how much they gave. You know what I'm saying? So why would you leave? So it's a psychological social incentive. How much there did you leave? You know, last year you left a lot more. I know, it's a hard year. You know, it wasn't such a good crop. You know, you can think about that. And he gets to shul and everybody's like, hey, I saw your pear this year. Really? What?
Right.
You know, your donation is like
and
right out there.
Everyone's happy to put up a plaque.
Nobody minds a plaque. Anyway, okay. The chinuch says. Okay. V'ha-ma'asev el habayit. Line 23, in the middle of line 23. Someone who gathers hakol el habayit. A person who takes everything in. V'lo yashir acharav bracha shiyanu bem av yonim. And he doesn't leave the blessing that he benefited for, that the poor should benefit from. Asher ra'u hasadeh bekomotera. They saw the fields. V'yit'avu ta'ava eleha. L'male nafsham ki ra'evu. Right? They're hungry. And it's like, it's in their face. Yorebe nafsho b'lisafek ro'a leb v'nefesh ra'a. That's a spiritual negativity. It's a cheap person. Like, think about it. It's not like, if you think about it also, we don't think about the aniyim. They see you driving by. They see you coming out with their, you know what I'm saying, with your cart full of, like, all the crap that they can't even afford, and they're buying the cheapo bread because that's what they can afford, you know, and they see it. And you don't want to give to them? V'gam ra'at tibu'uhu, and that will also bring. So it's interesting. The chinuch sees it as a spiritual idea that God wants us to be giving people. He wants us to be generous people. He wants us to have hearts of giving. And that's the nature of this mitzvah. So there's a long piece of Rav Kook. Sadly, we don't have enough time to finish the whole thing. One second. Rav Kook talks about the idea. And let's just read the beginning of the line. Okay? HaTorah tzivta davka la'azov lifnei aniyim et hapeya. The Torah commanded la'azov. V'hem yulketu ke'adam ha'melakeh mitoch sadehu. And they should gather. L'horot sha'netiya la'aniyim eino b'tor yitron nidivut. Almost as the opposite. It's not to make you a giving person. You're generous. You're wonderful. You're such a nice person. It's a positive chok, mishpat, justice. It's their portion. Okay? This idea is to remove from a person's heart. Poverty is terrible. He says, they're interesting. He says, people think that poor people are terrible. They're like downtrodden, they're negative and whatever. He says, the idea of poverty is to bring out something in you. That he talks about the whole idea of poverty, but I want to focus on the very beginning of what he says. It doesn't belong to you. Pull back. They have ownership. They also want a piece of the field. It belongs to God. It gives to everyone. There's a sense of ownership. This is such powerful messages in the format of pay-up. In the way that it's meant to be given, you know, and the ideas behind it. So like I think that it's you see it's like it's this combination of these values. On the one hand, yes, you're giving, you have to be giving spirit, like the Chinuch says. But on the other hand, you're pulling back. You're not only giving to him, you're empowering him to have a say and have a sense of ownership over the land also, that it belongs to him, it doesn't just belong to you, and that he has to produce it, and he can't just take, and he's not being spoon-fed. Like, all of these things sort of combine together in a way of giving. In the bitsua, it becomes much more complicated. In the real world, these ideals become very difficult to concretize. And that's why we see Chazal stepping in and saying, it has to be a 60th, and you can't hit each other with your, you know, tools, and, you know, it becomes a little bit of a balagan. How do you inculcate in people, forget the poor, in the givers, this spirit of generosity that really wants to share, that really, you know what I'm saying? So the answer, I think, is the end of the psukim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right? What's the next words? In the psukim, we'll go back to where we started. I am the Lord your God. Pasuk Yira. Lo tignovu v'lo tishachachashu v'lo tishaku ish ba'amito. So I would like to read these out of Pshat, but in the context of Peah and Matanot La'aniyim. Right? Don't steal. And what it means stealing here is fascinating. Right? It's very fascinating. Okay? This mitzvah appears, just turn for one second, Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Bet. Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Bet. It's the middle of the Perek, yeah, in Be'ifra. This mitzvah appears again. It appears, no, it's the very end, but it appears again in Parshat Emor, in this parak. There's a whole chapter about holidays. Okay. Very famous chapter about Chagim. Okay? We're in the middle of talking about Shavuot, and you bring Bikurim. Okay? Wonderful, you bring Bikurim. Pasuk Chavbeh. Everybody see it? Ubekutzechem ekitzir artzechem. And when you harvest your field, lo techale pe'atzarcha bekutzecha, v'leke kitzircha lo telaket. Almost the exact identical pasuk. Really, identical. What in the world is it doing? Why do you say it again? And why do you have to add? Like, what is it adding? What is in this context? So let me first talk about it. You can look it up. Look at Rashi. Ta'azov. Hanech lifnehem vehem yukutu. Leave it and they'll collect it. En chalesayei ale echad mehem. Don't help. Echad mehem. One of them. Those of you who have Sivtei Chachamim, he quotes and he says, you can't help one of them. One second. And he says, he quotes, there's a Mishnah. Perk. I didn't get to this Mishnah yet, so I didn't realize it. Okay? If you help one of them, Perek Hey, Mishnah. One second. Here. He says, you can't help one of them. Mish Eino, I'm going to read this to you. Mish Eino, Meniach et Ha'aniyim Lilkot. Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav. If you don't need for the Aniyim to grab the leket. Oshe meniach et aichad ve'echad lo. One yes, one no. I.e., you can have, you can't have. Oshe misayeya echad mehem. Or you help one. Hareze gozer le ta'aniyim. You're stealing from the poor. Alzeh ne'emar al tase gvul olim. Fascinating Mishnah. It's not yours. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not yours to give. It's not yours. So you can't show favoritism. You can't help somebody. You can't do anything. Leave it. So isn't it fascinating that the pasuk that we learned before, right after, was lo tignovu, don't steal, v'lo tichachashu, don't deny, v'lo tishaku ish ba'amito, don't lie to your fellow man. So I'm learning al derech hadrash. And who's the only one that's going to know?
You.
And? God. Right? These are things that are elu dvarim she'en lahem shiur. There's no referees, there's no anything. You know what I'm saying? It's between you and God. Only he's going to determine, did you give? Did you not help? Were you impartial? Did you really have a giving heart? Did you pull back? Did you fulfill the mitzvah of Peah or not? Peah is not tzedakah. It's so, so much more than that. It's a powerful, beautiful effort. Yeah, we'll stop here.